Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So our reading today comes from Matthew 4, verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
Let's bow our heads in prayer, everybody. Father, thank you so much for your word, which lights up our path so we know where we're going in life. We thank you, God, that as you're speaking to us tonight, Lord, we can expect nothing less than your living word to resonate within our spirits. Thank you for the illumination of your word, Lord God, that it will come alive tonight. Lord, we're coming expecting you to move mightily tonight. We don't just come because this is a weekly event that we attend. We come to meet the living God. And so, God, I pray that I would be able to move out of the way that we hear directly from your throne room tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. So we're in a series called This Is Us. For those whom I haven't had the honor of meeting yet, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. We are one of two locations here at Logan. We have another location in central Brisbane and Kangaroo Point. But we're really excited that you could be with us here tonight, whether you're watching online or you're here live in person. And so in this series, This Is Us, we're looking at who we are as a family, as a spiritual family, just so that you know what our values are and who we are. And today I'm going to be talking about the empowering way, highlighting the value of discipleship. Let me just highlight the vision statement of our church, which lines up with the vision statement of our global ministry. We have hundreds of churches. My brain just went blank. We have around 600 churches around the world in over 80 nations. And so this is one of them. And so we're glad you could be here with us tonight. Every Nation Brisbane is a part of the Every Nation family of churches and ministries that exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. Now, last week, I had the opportunity to talk about family, and this is what we said about family. We will not place our families and marriages on the altar of ministry. We also see the church as a spiritual family, a community of faith that Jesus laid his life down for because he loved us so much. We looked at the importance of the unit of family, the importance of marriage and Christ's model for marriage. And we looked at that in Ephesians 5. If you want to go back and listen to that, you can get that on the podcast at our website, enbrisbane.org. Next week, and I want to encourage you, next week we're going to be talking about worship, and then the following week we'll be talking about outreach, and then the final week we'll be talking about the value of campus ministry and the next generation. I'm really excited to have our campus ministers come and speak to you guys as well and share just the importance of reaching the next generation. Next week when we talk about worship, I'm going to be talking just for a little while, but we're going to spend a longer time in worship. So I hope, for those of you who like to worship, or maybe you're watching online, or maybe you've got friends who love to worship, like invite them along, because there's nothing like the presence of God that'll transform a life, right? But we're going to talk today about discipleship. See, we're here at Every Nation Brisbane. We're committed to Christ's commission for us to make disciples. We aim to be disciples of Jesus and make disciples by engaging the culture of our city with the gospel, establishing and equipping these disciples of Christ in the journey with God, and releasing them to as spirit-empowered leaders to be a Christ-like influence. This is what we saw earlier today in our graduation for leadership 215. The question I want to ask you right at the top today is, do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? Now, many of you would answer, "I'm at Springwood, Pastor Nelly," and that would be a correct answer, but I'm not asking geographically. I'm asking in terms of who you are and where you are right now in your life. I'm reminded in Genesis where the question was asked where you are. Like he was asked of God to Adam and Eve in the garden, right? After they'd committed sin, the question was asked like this. In verse 18 of Genesis chapter 3, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. How many of you know that's not a good idea? You can't hide from the presence of God. God is omnipresent, right? He's everywhere and in all things. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Now that question was not asked because he didn't know where they were, right? Because if he's God, he should know where everyone is. He's not only omnipresent, he's omniscient, which means he knows all things. But why would he ask that question? It wasn't for God to know where they were, it was for them to know where they are, right? Where are you? Turn to your neighbor and ask them, "Where are you? Where are you?" And he said, I love this answer. For all the sisters in here, this is a typical male answer right here. And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid and I was naked. I hid myself." How many of you know he didn't even answer the question properly? Okay. He didn't say, "I'm behind the trees." Tina's laughing way too loud because she knows that's kind of like a Nelly answer right there. And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He was not describing a geographical location. He was describing an inner fear because he recognized that God knew exactly where he was. He had broken his covenant with the God who had provided him a space to live in. That's where he was right at that point. If any of you have any sort of maps on your digital device or your phone, you'll be familiar with this symbol here. They call it the pin drop, right? But there's also another expression that is used with that term pin dropping. Like it was so quiet that you could hear a pin drop. And it's funny how that would be coincidental because at that moment, that was a pin drop moment for Adam, right? Because it was so quiet in the garden. Where are you? Let me tell you this. If you don't know where you are, you won't get to where you need to go. And this is God's tool for of discipleship. I'll explain this to you. There's a journeying aspect with God that God desires all of us to go on. It doesn't matter where you're at right now, as long as you're on that journey, but it takes a realization of the pin drop as to where you are now so that you know that you're growing and going in the direction that God has you going in. And one of the leaders of this movement, the senior pastor of the church that Tina and I used to be part of in Singapore, his name is Pastor Joey Bonifacio. He wrote a book called The Lego Principle. I highly recommend it on the topic of discipleship. And his statement right from the start is discipleship is relationship. Discipleship is relationship. But I want to take it a little bit further and excuse the, I didn't tell them to put this at the bottom. But this is the Nelly remix. Discipleship is relationship towards God. It's not just any relationship, but there's a direction towards it. And there's different places within that journey where the pin might drop in terms of us being able to understand, okay? So every single person in this room, and I'm going to be using a lot of alphabet today, okay? So I'm going to be using A, B, C, D, a bunch of E's, and a few F's as well, okay? So it'll help you to remember this whole process that we're trying to talk about here. Well, let's start with A, B, C, D, okay? Every single one of us is going to fall into one of these four categories, all right? Firstly, is the acquaintance. And now the acquaintance, you may be here and we welcome you here. If you're a friend or a part of the family or somebody that's here and you just came along because, you know what, they promised me dinner afterwards, that's all good. We're just happy that you're here tonight. But I also think, you know, this is not what they term a bait and switch. It's just the design of God because God wants us to hear His good news, and His good news is what we call the gospel. The good news is that we are all sinners because no matter where we realize we are, we're much like Adam and Eve at that point. We're afraid, and so we hid. And then God has us in this moment. I don't want you to hide anymore. I want you to embrace the finished work of my son Jesus who brings you into right relationship with me. So an acquaintance, therefore, needs to be engaged with the good news of Jesus, the gospel. And if you embrace the gospel of Jesus, if you embrace Jesus Christ as Lord, that word Lord, we often hear it in church. How many of you grew up in church and heard the word Lord a lot? You know, like maybe it was when you heard a bad singer and then they sang the wrong note. You're like, oh, Lord. But like maybe, but Lord actually means, I grew up in church hearing the word Lord, but I didn't really know what it meant other than landlord. That mean guy that come over, where's the rent? You know, like that's not the Lord in this case. The Lord means the one who rules and reigns, the one who calls the shots in your life. Who calls the shots in your life? And if you're an acquaintance here, again, we welcome you here. And I just want to invite you to the good news that if you trust God as Lord of your life, if you trust Jesus as the one who calls the shots in your life, you'll be invited to this life that is life. And I'm going to explain this in a little bit because this is what we call being a disciple of Christ. So those who receive the good news become what? Be believers in Jesus. And the believer needs to be established with their faith in their church community. And those of you who may be visiting from other churches, again, we welcome you here. But be plugged into your church community. God has not called everybody to be a part of Every Nation Brisbane. There are many great churches around Brisbane, but like get where God has called you. That's God places you in the body as he sees fit. 1 Corinthians 12:18. And in the word of God, the Bible, and in prayer. So we here at Every Nation Brisbane, and especially here in Logan, we need to understand that we have many opportunities for you to help you be established in your faith. And this might be whether it's classes like we have the Rise Weekend, which help you to uproot old foundations. Maybe there have been foundations that have been laid in your life that are not good foundations, and God is calling you to uproot those foundations and receive inner healing so that you can walk in newness of faith so that God can lay down new biblical foundations. And then we have what we call Foundations for Victory, which help you to establish good, solid biblical foundations in your life. We'll teach you about prayer. We'll teach you how to read the Bible. We'll teach you about salvation and repentance. We'll teach you about baptism. I was so excited, church. I was so excited on Friday. We baptized 11 youth at the Central Youth. Hope up there is one of them. Shout out to you, Hope. That's my little homie right there. She like and young champions like Hope who made the decision on their own, no pressure from anybody else. It's just because they're in an environment around our youth leaders like Mark and the rest of the team and Karishma and just pouring into them, and obviously having great parents like Upu. I'm paid to say that. Just kidding. But being in that environment, they, Hope made the decision, you know what, on her own, I do believe in Jesus. I want to follow him. It's not you're too young. You know, you can't know. The moment that somebody decides that they want to believe in God and go for it, man, we want to see them advance in everything that God has for them. It's not for old folks like me, just for old folks like me. So we're really excited about that. And shout out to my Ian Logan youth as well, because the time's coming too. I can't wait. Henry, I can't wait, Joe. Like when we start baptizing some of these young people out here in Logan, right, Lossa? It's going to be a powerful time. So powerful, my voice cracked right there. That's how powerful it's going to be. So we have Foundations for Victory. We have baptism. We have our Rise sessions. And so all of this happens. I mean, this was the baptism that happened right here in Logan. Know this guy? You know that guy? He looks happy. It's this champion right here, Steve. We celebrated with the ones that were baptized here. It's been amazing, right? And we're only 2 months into this year. This is the last day of February, and we didn't get to baptize anybody because of COVID last year. And we've already baptized 17 people this year. I mean, we're off to a great start, and we're going to do some more baptisms in April. If you want to follow Jesus and you want to be baptized and declare your faith before all your friends and family, let us know, because we've got another baptism coming up in April. Super excited about that. So as you get established in your faith and in the word of God and in prayer, you move to C, which is a church member, because you're now a part of church, the church family. And this is where we teach you about how to make disciples. We teach you about how to evangelize. We give you the opportunity to intern with one of our life groups. We've got life groups all over the city. You know, here on the south side, we've got lots of life groups even within, even within this area of Logan. And this is where community happens. As great as Sunday night is, it's not just about Sunday night unless it empowers the Monday to Saturday. And that's where the church is the church. This event is not the church. This wonderful building here is not the church. You are the church. And if what I equip you with does not count for your Monday to Saturday, we might as well pack up and go. But being the church and being a member of the church, and I don't mean member is like member of a club. I mean a member of the part of the body of Christ, living and active like his body is. And understanding that you can learn how to serve in different capacities. And then the D is disciple making disciple or disciple maker. We want to train you for that. You know, right here earlier this year, was it last year, Adele, we celebrated having these three interns pass through the campus internship program with Mark and Adele. And I mean, we're just really excited about what's happening on campus as well. But also with our Leadership 215 program, which you've heard already about. We want to train Christians to be disciple-making disciples, not pew-sitters. There are far too many churches that just come and tickle your ears but don't activate people towards the mission that God has all of us on. Every single one of us that's in this room that is a believer of Jesus, God has a mission for your life. And he wants to activate you so that you can help others find the love and the grace and the mercy of Christ. And even be vessels that God might use for justice. Let's go back to this passage. This is the Great Commission. Go therefore. This is Jesus' final words in the book of Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of what? Just your own nation? All nations. Other translations say every nation. That's a cool name for a church, eh? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe. Other versions say teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. Like in discipleship, it's important to teach people how to know the word. It really saddens me to see statistically, and I shared this last week, how biblically illiterate this generation has become. We can use all sorts of excuses when the Bible is more readily available than ever to every single person on this planet. You can have it on your device now. You don't have to go down to Kurong and buy it. It's just there on a free app now. And yet, we have generations of Christians that don't know their word. They don't know the Bible. And so when a crisis comes, as we've all experienced over the last year with this global pandemic, we don't have a word to stand on. We know all the lyrics to our favorite hip-hop artist, but we don't know a single scripture to stand on. We don't know the living word because we haven't developed a lifestyle of prayer. Here at Every Nation, Logan, we're not going to put up with that. We're going to be a people who know our word, who know our prayer, so that when hard times come, we will be a people, a church that will be firmly founded on the rock of our salvation that won't be shaken. Let me tell you something. Every Nation, Logan, we are going to be an unshakable church because it's built on Jesus. Not on me, not on any of our leaders, but it's built on Jesus. He's the foundation. It's more than just, go ahead and give him praise, everybody. You might as well. Look, it's more than just the name of an organization. We came here to bring Jesus to this community. Let me just say this straight up. It's not a certain ethnicity's Jesus. It's not a European model of Jesus. It's not a Pacific Island model of Jesus. It's not a Pinoy Jesus. It is that God came down into Hebrew society and changed the world from a little nation called Israel through his son who was a carpenter. Who didn't have a home, a hopeless and homeless carpenter, I should say. God inhabited him and wrapped himself in human flesh and laid his life down on the cross so that we could be seen, heard, saved, delivered, and now we get to become his disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, this is my favorite part of the Great Commission, but it's often missed. I am with you always. Turn to somebody, encourage them. He is with you always. Some of you came in here after a very hard week. Let me reassure you, God is with you always. It becomes a little bit more obvious on a Sunday night because we're around other lights. He's called us to be lights to the world, right? But when you get to Dark Wednesday, it's a little bit hard to get the gas going in your light, right? But let me tell you something. That's the promise. He is with you always to the end of the age. If you're a disciple of Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus, he is with you always. don't know about you, but I'm just encouraging myself. If you want it, you can grab some if you want. But like 2 Timothy chapter 2, okay? This is where I'm going to kind of land here a little bit longer. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he's writing this to his spiritual son, Timothy. And this is his final letter to him before he's executed. He says to him, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And check this out. "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men." The word there is anthropos in the Greek, which means men and women, all people, who will be able to teach others also. So notice there is a four-generational transfer that's happening here in terms of just knowledge of God and knowledge about God from Paul to Timothy, Timothy to teach others in a way that they'll be able to teach others. That's always been God's intent for humanity. This didn't start with a pyramid scheme or multi-level marketing. This started from Scripture. It's always been generational. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he's saying here, from prison, he's not all like, you know, like, if I was Paul, I'd be like, "Man, just come, man. I know I don't have much time left, so just bring me my favorite trifle or something," you know, like, but he's like so engulfed and enraptured with the kingdom of God that he's like, "You know what? I'm more concerned about these other generations that don't know Jesus." And so he says, "All that you've been taught from me," Paul to Timothy, "in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men." Now, I want you to notice this. It's not just one person. He's saying entrust it to a group of people who will be able to teach others also. Funny how we miss that sometimes here in Australia. Society is very individualistic. I just want mine and my own. I just want to go to church so I can get fed. And we've got people that have been in church for 30 years and don't know how to feed themselves the Bible. I hope I didn't offend anybody with that. So we've been talking a lot about this discipleship journey here at Every Nation Brisbane, but I wanted to talk about the marks of a disciple of Christ. What are the marks of a disciple of Christ? How do you know that you're a disciple of Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because the answer is in the passage that Levi just read. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4 if you have a Bible. If you don't, you can just read it off the screen here. I want to encourage you to take notes, okay? I don't know if you noticed this. We talked about A, B, C, D. I snuck in some E's there. If you're an acquaintance, you need to be engaged with the gospel. If you're a believer, you need to be established in foundations and in your faith. If you're a church member, you need to be equipped and not be a pew sitter. And if you're a disciple maker, you need to be empowered to reach the planet or reach the sphere of influence, the world that God has put you in. Those are the E's. Now we're going to the F words. And God wants to change your F words, Logan. Turn to somebody, encourage them. God's going to change our F words today. There's four-letter F words. I'm going to cut it. Stop saying food. Now I got you awake. All right. Matthew chapter 4. So Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. Let me set the tone here. He just finished fasting for 40 days. That's just painful just thinking about it. If you know me and you know how much I love food, fasting for 40 hours is a struggle. But 40 days, praise God. And so he comes out of this fast, this pursuit of the heart of the Father before he enters into ministry. And the first thing he does before he preaches a sermon, he preaches his epic sermon in Matthew 5, which is known as the Beatitudes. But before he even goes there, the first thing he does is he looks for disciples. Now watch this. While he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The word there in the Greek again is anthropos. Just in case you ladies thought, "Woo, I'm enjoying Jesus and fish me some men." No, it's anthropos there, right? Keep your mind pure, I'm just saying. So the first F word that is a mark of a disciple is that a disciple fishes for the lost. A disciple fishes for the lost. There are a lot of Christians that are scared of the word evangelism. There is a misnomer around evangelism that you either had to stand on some street corner with a bullhorn and a picket sign saying, turn or burn, repent or get sent, or something like that. Or they're afraid of the fear of man, you know, like hand out a little tract and say, Jesus loves you. And you know, like there's all sorts of fears that happen. But how many of you know that this is the mission that God's called us on? Maybe the methods might be different for different ones of us, but we need to fish for the lost. There are so many people out here in Logan, in Brisbane, that don't know Jesus. They don't know this God we talk about. We live in a post-Christian society, meaning that most people in Australia don't know anything about Jesus. So how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they're sent? God is commissioning all of us to at least open our mouths and tell them about Jesus. There's two types of people that Jesus speaks specifically about seeking after. The first I want to mention is John chapter 4, where it says that Jesus seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. But the second type of people that God goes after, that he seeks after, in Luke 19:10, it says here, for the Son of Man came to what? Seek and to what? Save the lost. That's why Jesus came. To seek, to save the lost. There are a lot of us in churches today, but we're still lost. And I want to invite you, come home. It's not just a religious exercise of just coming to an event. You've heard me joke before, being in a church meeting doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in KFC makes you a quarterback. Just because you're in a location, it doesn't mean that you are a Christian. It means if you want to follow Jesus, it's a life sold out before him. And part of being sold out is, man, the same way that Christ has fished for me, I will fish for others because I know this love so well. Many of you can guess what the next F word is. Here's the next part of the passage. Immediately they left their nets and what? Followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately, everybody say immediately, God loves an immediate response from his people. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. There's a significance about this because the boat was a symbol of their provision and their father was a symbol of their lineage. And many of us come from strong cultures. My culture is strong. I'm a Samoan. But when it comes to wrestling with my Samoan ethnicity and how it lines up with the Bible, I know that there's many lies that would say, oh, that's just a part of our culture. You know how many, you know, okay, let me just say this, all right? Can we, this is one of those moments. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those moments. Let me just kill this lie. You know how some people say it's cultural to be late? I don't receive that as a Samoan. It's not my culture. It's just a part of our culture. I understand the nature of being polychronic versus monochronic and all of that. But when you're living in this society and there's a clock, we honor God by the structures that are here. If we're back in Samoa, you can get away with that. If you're back where you came from, you can get away with that. But right here, in the way we honor God being missionaries to this land, Australia. And so, watch the time. Don't lie and say, oh, it's just part of my culture. That's the way we are. I'm just touching on lateness because some people, it's not just lateness. There's other things and then we say, oh, it's just part of my culture. Some of those are not cultural. They're just straight up not culture. Please don't embrace those lies. I am proud to be Samoan. I'm thankful that God has created me as a Pacific Islander, as a Samoan. But he's called me to represent him well to our people. And we need to be people of integrity. That crosses all cultural barriers. Is that okay? Are you still with me? Immediately, they left the boat, the source of provision, and they left their father, which is a source of their lineage and their understanding of cultural practices because they're about to follow Jesus and the change of direction that would come. And I can't reiterate enough, this is not a cultural Jesus. This is not a colonizing Jesus. Can we keep it real here? This is a Jesus who is God Almighty, who wrapped himself in human flesh and came to earth to reach all cultures, every nation. Are you all with me? And we follow him, the God of all cultures. For those of you who battle with that understanding, let me just tell you, I apologize as a Christian leader. on behalf of those who have misused with its cultural power in the name of this God that we follow, and then allow their culture to supersede the actual lordship of Jesus, that's not of God. And I apologize, and we repent on behalf of those people, but I'm here to tell you today, that's going to change. We're turning the culture around. Are you all with me? A disciple follows Jesus. So a disciple fishes for the lost. A disciple follows Jesus. Do you know how to follow him? Get somebody in your life to teach you how to obey God. How do you obey God? Well, you got to know what he says first. So understanding the word of God, understanding how to pray, finding those people. You know, if you're a young person in here, if you're in youth, get alongside your youth leaders and ask them, Lord, look, can you help me to obey? I want to follow God's plan for my life. If you're in here and you need help, we're here for you. Myself, Henry and Helen, the Asawas, Norman and Esther, like there's a bunch of us who are leaders here who would love to help you on your journey. Immediately, watch these words. They left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, they saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Are you noticing something? He didn't call them just to be solo artists, okay? This is not just Michael Jackson without the Jackson 5. None of y'all get it because you're so young. It's not Quavo without the Migos, I don't know. But what I'm here to describe to you today is that discipleship is done with others. You walk in fellowship with other believers. So are we clear? The mark of a disciple, number one, is that they fish for the lost. Number two is that they follow Jesus wholeheartedly, no compromise. Number three is that they fellowship with other believers. Henry Nouwen puts it this way, Christian community is the place where we keep the flame of hope alive among us and take it seriously so that it can grow and become stronger in us. This is how we get stronger, as we walk with other Christians. Like I mentioned last week when we were talking about spiritual family, let me tell you something. No family is perfect, whether your biological and definitely not your spiritual family, but they're your family. I can't go up to my mom. Can you imagine? Again, I'm Samoan. If I went up to my mom and said, oh, you know, I'm not really happy with your motherhood. Guess what? My mother, praise Jesus. She's probably watching right now. Hi, mom. It's just an example, mom. My mom, this November, will be 77 years old. But she'll still whip me. I can just imagine, you know. I'm not happy with your mother. You'll be doing hospital visits to me. Because family is family. This is non-negotiable. Can you imagine being born and then you say to mother, oh, nah. This is where strength is found. Walking around in the environment, this cultivating environment of what we call sanctification. Sanctification is a flash theological term that is used around becoming more like Christ. There's a process that God uses imperfect people to help you with, just in case you didn't know. Francis Schaeffer, the theologian, says that our relationship with each other is the criterion of which the world uses to judge whether our message is fruitful. Christian community is the final apologetic. Immediately, they left their boat and they left their father and followed him. I'm telling you, like from a communal culture like mine, that's rough, but that's how convicted they were to follow Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that every Christian community must realize that not only do the weak need the strong, but guess what? But also that the strong cannot exist without the weak. The elimination of the weak is the death of fellowship. If you are strong in the Lord here, I was telling our Leadership 215 graduates, you know, it's more than just carrying a certificate. That certificate counts for nothing in terms of the scope of the kingdom of God. Look, that certificate is precious because of your achievement and all that you've worked towards, but it's nothing without a cross. And when you learn the power of when you are positioned with strength and knowledge or actual physical strength or spiritual strength, you are to use that strength for service. to help others to follow God. That's the power of fellowship. So we fish for the lost. So we follow Jesus together and we fellowship with one another. So here's my landing point tonight, church. Looking at these words, right? We must ask ourselves the question that I asked at the top. Where are you, mate? Where are you? Are you an acquaintance, a believer, a church member, whether here or elsewhere, or a disciple maker? And this is what I'm committed to. And I know Henry and the team here, we're all committed to, is we want to help you on your journey in Christ to grow in God. It's not going to be easy. And in fact, it's done with a cross, carrying it. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that, oh, you follow Jesus, it's going to be like Disneyland. Except there will be no queues and you'll get on every ride and you'll hear songs everywhere. I can show you the world. It's not going to be like that. There are going to be rough times. There are going to be great times of celebration, but there are going to be tough times. There will be relationship testing. There will be storms of life. There will be times when even, you know, things like your finances will be tested. The strength of those friendships that you have will be tested. But you have a rock that you're established on. You have a God whom your life is banked on. So those are the questions I want to ask you. Where are you? And what do you need? Do you need to be a Christian? If you're a follower of Jesus, do you need to learn to follow him deeper? Do you need to learn to fish more for those who don't know Jesus? Or do you need to fight for fellowship? Maybe God's been showing you that you've been isolating yourself a lot. There is no power in isolation. In fact, it's like a coal that's removed from fire. It will burn out. And it will cease to function the way it was designed unless it comes back to the fold of being on fire. So I'm going to leave this slide up here. I'm going to pray a prayer. And I want to invite you to maybe just discuss this question with the person next to you and take a moment to pray. And then we're going to worship Jesus tonight. We're going to go after him tonight. So can we do this? I'm going to pray for us. And at the conclusion of our time of prayer, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to pray. If any of you are contemplating, I want to follow Jesus. I want to go after him. I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord tonight. I want to pray that you would receive him as Lord. But I want to pray this prayer just simply right now, at least, just for our spirits to be open to what he may be pointing us towards. Lord Jesus, I thank you for just our spiritual family in the house today and those who are watching online. I thank you, God, that you're here with us. And that you're speaking to us in our situations. Lord, it's not the fact that you don't know where we are. You know exactly where we are. It's just in a moment like this, there's a realization that's happening by your Holy Spirit where we're seeing, wow, this is actually where I'm at. And God, you're motivating us to grow more in you, to journey with you, journey in your Holy Spirit, to go deeper in our relationship with you, to deepen our understanding of your word, to deepen our love and compassion for the broken outside of the four walls of the church. God, you're activating us tonight, calling us not to settle in a place of complacency. So God, I pray for an open heaven tonight. I pray that you would unlock hearts, that even as we enter into this time of discussion and even worship, that you would come by your Holy Spirit and minister to us, your children, as we minister to you in worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.